Today I'll be reading from John chapter 6. Read verses 22 through 59. This is God's word. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." The Jews then complained about him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he says, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Today I'm beginning a short series of sermons on the person and work of Jesus Christ. Just acknowledging that we are in a season of thinking of the birth of Jesus Christ this Christmas time. There are seven short sayings in the Gospel of John. You could call them tweets. They are all less than 140 characters. And so these are the seven tweets of Jesus. Well, we laugh a little bit at that, don't we? At a catchy sermon title maybe, or a book series or something. Not for me. But I am beginning to concentrate on seven short sayings of Jesus, and they all begin with this phrase, I am. In this passage, we have, I am the bread of life. The others are, I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. I will use these short sayings as a way to think about Jesus' birth and his purpose for coming into the world. The first one is here in John 6 in verse 35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. I have a question for the children. Have you ever been hungry? Have you ever been thirsty? There was once that I was on a backpacking trip and we ran out of water. We'd been very careful. It was in the hottest part of the summer. And my friends and I had tried to portion out our water so that we would have water every day, but we ran out. And it was really, really hot. And all of a sudden, all of the other goals for that day got set on the side so that we could find water. It was so important for us that we canceled everything else that we were going to do so that we could find water. And we went for half of the day looking for water. And boy, did we get thirsty. We were parched by the time we finally found water. And when we did, we drank and drank and cooled our bodies and our mouths and were satisfied. There's a sense of longing that having a thirst communicates. Hunger is like that too. I imagine that being hungry is something that you're probably more familiar with. Unfortunately, you're not like some in the world who have very little food. You know what it's like though, when your stomach starts to growl about the middle of the day, you get hungry. Maybe you can feel the pain of your stomach as it starts to grumble a little bit. Maybe you even get a little cranky when you're hungry. We know those desires. That's physical hunger. That's physical thirst. We understand those things, don't we? We can use those, though, to also talk about something else. We can talk about being hungry for other things. This last week, there were a couple of football teams that were hungry to win Bedlam football. It was their earnest desire that they would come out on top, right? They were hungry for that. Some of you students are taking finals this week. You long to get a good grade. You earnestly desire that. You're hungry for a good grade on your finals. So we can talk about a physical desire and think of something else, a mental desire. In this passage, Jesus uses something very natural to help us to understand something spiritual. He uses the idea of hunger and of thirst to describe a spiritual truth. And the truth is this: Jesus is the bread of life. Therefore, come to Him and satisfy your hunger. The back of your bulletins, you'll see that as the main idea of this passage. I'm going to then walk through this passage to help you understand how Jesus is the bread of life. I'm going to start with hunger. In fact, I'm going to start by looking at this passage and asking the question, what kind of hunger did the people have? I began in the middle of the chapter, but if you look back to the very first, you'll find out that there's more to the story. Jesus was teaching in a somewhat secluded area, and there were people that went out to Him to hear what He had to say. There were about 5,000 people who went out to this mountainous place, and they ran out of food. The passage says that Jesus had compassion on them, and so He fed them. And it's one of the miracles of Jesus that He took a very little amount of food and He fed 5,000 people. He took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and with that little bit of food, He miraculously provided food for all of those people. Well, I don't know about you, but I kind of agree with the people here. This is something special. You can imagine how astonished they were at this miracle. You might hear them talking amongst themselves. This is great. Can you believe it? With Jesus, we will never be hungry again. We will have all of the food that we can imagine. We will never be hungry again. I like this Jesus. Let's take Him and make Him our king. That's what they said. Well, Jesus had something else in mind. He did have compassion and He did feed them, but Jesus wanted to do more than just feed their bellies. He wanted to feed their souls. So when they came and they wanted to make Him king, Jesus, in a sense, told them no, and He left. He went back up into the mountains and was secluded from the crowds there. During the night, Jesus left the area, and that's a whole other story and a whole other miracle that I'm not going to go into. When the people got up, they found that Jesus was gone. Where did He go? We want this Jesus. We want this food that He offers. They found that He'd gone to the other side of the sea, and so they followed Him there. And Jesus takes their desire, He takes that physical hunger that they had, and He takes this moment to teach them a spiritual truth. He told them that they were wanting something that didn't last. He said, you ate that food and you're already hungry again. You want physical food that has no lasting value. In contrast, Jesus said, I offer to you spiritual bread. Spiritual bread which if you would eat, you would never be hungry again. You see, Jesus takes this and as a teachable moment, use something very real, very understandable, to help them to understand something spiritual. Were they physically hungry? Well, yes, they were. But they were also spiritually hungry. They were spiritually empty inside, spiritually longing for something to satisfy their souls. Unfortunately, though, they tried to satisfy that hunger, that emptiness inside, by piling on physical answers. And I just have to stop and say, isn't that true today? Isn't it true that the emptiness in our souls, we often will try to answer through all sorts of other means? I heard a story that illustrated that this week on the radio. The story was about a movie director who chose to use one of the songs out of Handel's Messiah for a funeral scene. It's a very powerful piece of music. We hear it a lot during this Christmas season. You might recognize the variety of different tunes that came and the words that come along with Handel's Messiah. The particular words that he used for this funeral scene are this. In Isaiah 40, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms." And then it goes on into Matthew 11. "Come unto me, all ye that are that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And as I listened to this story on the radio, I thought, what a powerful and touching promise to use in the midst of a funeral. "I will gather you like lambs. I will give you rest." But the story on the radio went on because the director is an atheist. And he said something like this: "Oh, if only you could believe these words. This idea that God is going to take care of you and comfort you and relieve you of your burdens, relieve you of your sorrow, is a wonderful, if imaginary, idea. But there is something in the world that does that. Something, sometimes it's nature, sometimes it's music, sometimes it's love from other people who care about you." And he went on to talk about the soothing music and tune and how it evokes some sense that he thought that might be akin to, if you were to embrace this imaginary being, God. You could almost weep for someone who is so close and yet so far. Because he knew the longing of life. He knew the emptiness of the human soul and looked for ways to comfort that longing. He looked for ways to bring peace to his soul. And unfortunately, he could see it in music and identify it in these words and yet not accept it. And so he looked for other things to bring comfort to his soul. He looked for the love of friends. He looked for the beauty of music. He looked for the comfort of nature. And all of those things are good. All of those things are beauty, and there's comfort in those, sure. But they do not ultimately satisfy. And they leave you empty. Unfortunately, I would say that many in our society don't even reach that high to the beauty of music and nature and friends. Instead, it seems like many people today satisfy that inner hunger with stuff. And the Christmas holiday is especially a time when that hunger is fed and driven. It's fed by the frenzy of Black Friday and Tech Monday. It's fed by giving and receiving and giving and getting and giving and getting and over and over again. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "It seems that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because they cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday by the sea. We are far too easily pleased." We are far too easily pleased. And that's what Jesus said to these people. That's what Jesus says to you. You are far too easily pleased. Why do you satisfy yourself with the stuff of this world when I offer you everlasting life? Which is greater, to eat a meal today in which you'll be hungry tomorrow, or to be satisfied forever with what Jesus offers? What kind of hungry are you? I won't even ask the question, are you hungry? Because I know you are. That's just the way God made you. You may not realize you're hungry, or you may have tried to satisfy that hunger with other things, and you may have blunted the pain and the grouchiness of that hunger with the stuff of this life, or even with the higher things of this life, with music, with doing good to others. But you are still hungry. Jesus answered that hunger with this very simple truth: I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He offers food that endures to everlasting life, food which the Son of Man will give you. Let me give you a hint about this food. It isn't real bread that he's talking about. It isn't elvish limbus bread. It isn't magical bread that will fill you up so that you'll never be hungry again. The crowd thought that maybe it was. You know, first they had seen Jesus as the one who'd given them bread, and so they said, "We want this Jesus." And quickly they turn when Jesus says, "No, it's the bread that will give everlasting life. You'll never be hungry again." And they quickly shift to, there's the bread we want. That's what we want. I don't want to be hungry again. Give us this bread. Give us it now. We want this." To which Jesus answered, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread that comes down from heaven." And here again, the people are a little confused, and they remember a point in their history when God gave manna, bread from heaven, through the hand of Moses. And they latch onto that and they said, "Well, Moses beforehand gave us bread from heaven. Are you greater than Moses?" That was way beyond what they could imagine, that anybody could be greater than Moses. But Jesus is greater than Moses and says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst." I want to take just that short phrase and unpack it a little bit. There are two aspects of his answer that provide satisfaction for hunger. The first is with those first two little words, He says, I am the bread of life. I am. Those two little words are going to be part of the seven other short sayings of Jesus that we'll consider. For us today, we don't think very much of that phrase, I am. But for the Jews in Jesus' day, they would have heard something very different, something very significant. They would have heard the covenant name of God. It doesn't come through in the English when I say, I am. But it is exactly the name that God gave to identify himself in the Old Testament. When Moses said, who shall I say sent me to the Israelites? God said, tell them my name. Tell them I am that I am. Or in short form, tell them I am sent you. Then throughout all of the Old Testament, we have that name given. I am. You've heard me before tell you that that sometimes we actually hear it in Christian literature as the name Yahweh or the name Jehovah. That's the name. I am. So when Jesus said to these people, I am the bread of life, he was identifying himself as God. He took that covenant name for God and took it to himself as the covenant-making God of the Old Testament. He is God. And there's satisfaction in that. For the thing that we hunger for is God himself. At the very beginning, God made mankind to live in fellowship with him. If you think back to the very first stories of the Bible, God made Adam and Eve to walk and talk with him. They had fellowship with him face to face. But sin separated God and man. And here's the longing for God. And Jesus comes and says, I am the bread of life. So the first satisfaction is that Jesus is God. The second is, in this strange phrase, I am the bread of life. In saying this, Jesus says that he is the one that gives life. In one way, he is like the manna that God gave in the Old Testament. Like the manna of the Old Testament, Jesus gives life. You need food to live. You have to eat or you die. And in the same way, you need Jesus. Without Jesus, you are dead. But Jesus is not like the manna of the Old Testament in a very important way. If you ate the bread of the Old Testament, if you ate the manna, you would get hungry again. Jesus calls your attention to that. But he goes on to say, if you eat this bread, you'll have everlasting life. In fact, he says it over and over again in this passage. You could read it again this afternoon and just underline where Jesus says, if you receive me, if you believe, if you eat this bread, you will have everlasting life. For instance, in verse 47, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. He who eats this bread, he who eats my body and drinks my blood will live forever. And that is what we need. We need Jesus for everlasting life. This is the source of life. There is no other way to live except by believing in Jesus Christ. Without him, we're separated. Without him, we are dead. But Jesus came to give life. Which leads us to a very important question. Just how do I get this bread? How do I get this bread? And I hope I've touched a nerve today. I hope that God's word has touched a nerve and prompted you to ask or to observe, I am hungry. I'm starving to death. And I read here that God offers Jesus as the bread of life. And I'm just not quite sure I understand that. Well, you're not alone. The people in Jesus' day thought this was a rather strange saying. Because Jesus says, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And you might be with the people in Jesus' day and say, that's just a little weird. Well, it would be if Jesus was talking literally of eating his bread and drinking, eating his flesh and drinking his blood. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about faith. He's talking about belief. And that comes through in this passage as well. If you read through this again and underline all the things about everlasting life, you would find in those verses that he links it with belief. Look at verse 47 again. He who believes in me has everlasting life. He who believes. In the coming weeks, we'll learn more about who Jesus is and what he came to do. We'll learn more about the life that he lived, the death that he died, his resurrection, how he gives life. And there's faith or there's belief that's attached to each one of these sayings. And today, what Jesus highlights is the belief that he is God and the belief that he is the source of life. And he invites you and he calls you to believe, to satisfy your hunger, and that you can satisfy that hunger by coming to Jesus. And so that's my invitation to you today. If you're hungry, come to Jesus. If you're empty, come to him. If you have tried all of the false fillers of the world around us, you can speak to this. You know that you're still hungry. Well, come to Jesus, and he will feed you this everlasting life. The words that I read as our call to worship today give that invitation. They are the words of Christ. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May you find satisfaction for your hunger in Jesus. Let's pray. Oh Lord, thank you for sending your Son to satisfy the punishment that we deserve. In you we do have mercy. And oh God, the separation that exists between you and us has placed in us a hunger that cannot be satisfied by anything else but Jesus. And so, O Lord, today we come to you and we ask that you would fill us with Jesus. We ask that you would forgive us for running to fill our bellies with all the other things of this life. We ask that you would forgive us for ignoring the offer of Jesus. We ask, O God, that we would find satisfaction in him and in him alone. O God, fill us with Christ. Forgive our sins and give us this gift of everlasting life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll close by singing Psalm 34, Selection A. This too uses the analogy of the good things of this life that the Lord provides to satisfy our hunger. And I hope that you would see not just the good things of this life that the Lord gives, but that you would see Jesus. And that you would come and taste and see that the Lord is good. We'll sing Psalm 34a. Please stand to sing.